This class about the fact that your faith can overcome. And it's based upon those verses in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, where the Bible says that we're going to face challenges in our life, and yet there is something that can overcome the world. There is something that can overcome the challenges that we face in this life, and that is our faith. And so we're trying to look at some various things that challenge us today and to remind us that when we face these things, we can overcome them, and it's our faith that overcomes them. And what I want to talk about today is this topic of discouragement. Can your faith overcome discouragement? Is that possible? Anybody ever dealt with any discouragement in your life? If I were to ask for a raise of hands, if you've ever been discouraged, I would expect that every hand would go up. If your hand didn't go up, there's Dave Holliday in the back. He's raising both of his hands. If your hand didn't go up, I would suspect that maybe you're deaf or something like that, because we all face discouragement, do we not? And it's a lot that comes into our life for each and every one of us. So I want us to think this morning, can our faith overcome the discouragement, whatever the cause of it is? Can our faith overcome it? Do you believe that your faith can overcome it? Can you think of any Bible characters who faced discouragement? You think of any? Who was it? Daniel? Is that who you said? Who'd you say? Job? Elijah? Joseph? Who'd you say? Joseph? Stephen? Jesus, that's always a good answer in a Bible class. So you all are just kind of going through the Bible characters in the Bible and just say, they faced it. If you could name any Bible character, and you wouldn't be wrong in that question, would you? And somebody say, well, where does the Bible show that they were discouraged? Well, do you think they ever faced discouragement? And the Bible doesn't tell us that they did. And so we go through and we think about various characters who faced discouragement. And we're not going to go through a lot today. I'm only going to talk very briefly about three of them. One of them that was mentioned was Elijah. Did Elijah get discouraged? Did Elijah do anything great? When you think about discouragement, you know, life is kind of mountains and valleys, right? Did Elijah ever have any mountaintop experiences? Anything good ever happen in Elijah's life? Well, yeah. You know, the nation is facing a drought. And what happened with Elijah during the drought? God said, hey, ravens, go take food over to my prophet Elijah. That make you feel good? When everything else seems to be falling apart around you, here's God providing for you. Here's a widow's son who died. What's Elijah going to do? How about through the power of God raise that widow's son from the dead? Would that make you feel good as a prophet of God to raise a widow's son from the dead? When he encounters the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? Did he defeat the prophets of Baal? Did God defeat them, 450 of them? And so you think about, and then you get to the end of 1 Kings chapter 18, and God tells him to leave town. And so you read the last verses of 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah outruns a chariot that got Ahab in it. You ever outrun a chariot? Raise your hand if you've ever outrun a chariot. Raise your hand if you've ever run against a chariot at all. Not, you know, but here's a guy, he's got a lot of good things happening in his life. But then you get to 1 Kings chapter 19. And when you get to 1 Kings chapter 19, you see a man who is defeated. You see a man that hears that Jezebel wants to kill him. And so he goes a day's journey, sits under a juniper tree, and you know what he prays to God? You know what he says to God? Let me die. Wow. Here's a guy who's had some major mountaintop great experiences in his life, and now he's sitting under a tree, and he prays to God and says, God, please let me die. Take my life. Is he discouraged? Big time. Don't answer out loud and just think, have you ever been there? I mean, here's a guy, he's physically and emotionally drained. Can that have an impact on you? Here's a guy, that looks at his life and he says, you know what? I'm the only one trying to do what's right. Remember what he said to God? I'm the only one. You ever felt that way? Nobody else is trying, and I feel like I'm out here on an island by myself, and the guy is just discouraged. We're going to come back and talk about him in just a couple minutes. What about John the Baptist? Did John the Baptist ever get discouraged? John the Baptist ever have anything good happen in his life? I mean, again, you think about life, ups and downs. Did John the Baptist ever have anything good happen? Can you think of anything? Well, let's see. He met Jesus. He baptized Jesus. He sees the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus as a dove. God the Father speaks directly to John. He sends John out to be the forerunner of Jesus. Here's a man that is going out and baptizing people. The Bible says that all of Judea was coming out to be baptized by him. And then he gets thrown in prison. In Matthew chapter 11, when John the Baptist is in prison, is he discouraged? Would you be discouraged if you got thrown in prison? Here's a man who is distraught, he is discouraged, and he sends some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him what? Are you the real deal or not? I mean, think about all that John had done and said and preached, and now in his moment of discouragement and despair, he's not even sure what to think and what to believe. Have you ever been there? John's there. Think about what Jesus sent message back. Did Jesus send message back and say, what's your problem, man? Get with it. Come on, man. Pick up yourself and let's keep going. Give me a break with all that. Is that the way Jesus responded? Aren't you glad that's not the way Jesus responded? Go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. Faith comes by, go tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. Remind John of these things. And think about Bible characters. There was a guy in the Bible who was a man after God's own heart. You ever read about him? Did David ever get discouraged? Look over in Psalm 42 really quick. Psalm 42 and 43. I want you to tell, and don't tell me, tell yourself. Speak. You can talk to yourself for the next couple minutes and nobody will think differently of you, because we won't hear you because you'll be talking in your head. But I want you to think, have you ever been here? Psalm 42. David says in verse 5, Psalm 42 and verse 5. No, back up to verse 3. Psalm 42 and verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. You ever been there? Just crying. While they continually say to me, where's your God? Verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Look at verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Look in verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Think about what he's saying over and over and over. Look in verse 9. I will say to my God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say all the day long, where's my God? Look over in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Here's two Psalms. How many times did he just say, my soul is cast down? How many times did he just say that my soul is disquieted within me? Here is a man who is frustrated. He is discouraged. He is distraught. Is he at a low point in his life? Yeah. Have you ever been there? Yeah, everybody has. And on the screen, these are the only three I'm going to put on the screen, but we could keep putting name after name after name of Bible characters who were there. So, what does that say? It's okay to be discouraged. Just stay discouraged, because as long as you stay discouraged, you got good company. Is that the point here? No, that's not the point. But the point is, you go to the Bible and you see some of the Bible greats, and they've been where you are. Now, did they stay there? No, they came out of that. When you think about today, not Bible characters per se, but when you think about life today, what causes us to get discouraged? Say again. Did you say waking up? Is that what you said? That's what I thought you said. That's great. All right, so what causes us to get discouraged? Waking up. So just go back to sleep and you won't be discouraged anymore. What causes us to be discouraged, Eva? Did you say the devil does? Okay, so waking up, and when you wake up, you face the devil. What else causes us to be discouraged, Dirk? Unrealistic expectations. That'll cause us to get discouraged. What causes us to get discouraged, Dan?
Gas prices.
Gas prices. That'll get you discouraged. Say again. Watching the news. That'll get you discouraged. Say again. Failures. Robert? Lack of faith. It's what causes us to get discouraged. John?
No money.
No money. That'll discourage you in a hurry. Say it again.
Loss of loved ones.
That'll cause you to get discouraged. Mickey? Health problems. Y'all have hit on a lot of the ones that I've got on the list. And again, we could put a whole screen or two or three full screens of things that cause us to get discouraged. It's loss of health. Does that discourage us? When your health is not what you want it to be or not what it used to be, does that get you discouraged? Yeah. Say again, Betty.
It gets you completely down.
Say that again.
It gets you completely down.
It can't?
Don't
let it. It can easily get you down. And when, Betty, when you're having back pain like you are, that's discouraging. When you can hardly walk like you used to be able to walk, that's discouraging. But, as Betty says, Laura says, do you have to let that get you down? Oh, it's hard to not let that control you. What did Hezekiah do when Hezekiah's health was going to be taking his life? And think about, were there any other Bible characters who had health problems? I mean, Hezekiah knows he's getting ready to die. You think of any other Bible characters who had health problems? Did Job have any health problems? Let's think about that for a minute. You go through it, you think about Bible characters. A character you don't think about very often, in Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says he was nigh unto death. That's pretty bad health problems. And he's past tense, and he came out of that. A lot of Bible characters dealing with health problems. What did Hezekiah do when he had health problems? He prayed about it. He did. He cried. He prayed about it. There were characters who asked others to pray for them. It's easy to stand here and say, boy, you know, we have health problems, but we can't let that control us until what? We're the ones having the health problems. Gets us discouraged. Loss. Say again, Eva. You got to go to God. Sam mentioned loss of loved ones. Does loss of loved ones get us discouraged? Even if you know somebody is going to pass, does that make it, you know, sometimes we say that makes it easier. Is there anything easy about a loved one passing? There's nothing easy. There's nothing easy about that. But what does the Bible say that is going to happen to all of us? We know that here, right? We know that here. It's going to happen to all of us. But down here in our heart, we say, no, I don't want it to happen. Not ready for it to happen. And so it causes us to get down. Look over in Romans chapter 15. Let me start this verse and you finish it. Go to Romans 15 because we're going to look at something else here. But Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You've heard that verse before. Did you know that's only half of the verse? We only quote half of the verse. Those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. When we pick up the Bible, are there things for us to learn from the standpoint of what we need to do to be saved and what we need to go to heaven? Yes. But there's more there, and I want you to look in verse 4. Whatever things were written aforetime, Romans 15 verse 4, were written for our learning. Why? That we, through the patience, you might have the word perseverance, we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What do the Scriptures offer? According to that verse, what do the Scriptures offer to us? Hope. What else do they offer to us? Encouragement. What else do they offer to us? Comfort. Look in verse 5. Now may the God of, the same words we just saw, now may the God of patience or perseverance and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Where can we go to find encouragement, to find comfort in times of discouragement? Well, one place we can go is to God and to go to His Word. John mentioned what causes us discouragement: loss of money, loss of material things. Does that cause us to get discouraged? Yeah, certainly it does. Loss of friendships. Can that cause you to get discouraged? When you had somebody, have you ever had somebody who was a close friend and then something triggered something in them and then all of a sudden they just turned against you? And somebody that you used to be able to count on and trust in is no longer there for you in the way that they used to be. Can you, Jerry? It's similar, yeah. Yeah. Right? It's similar to number two, you know, that you're losing someone who is close to you. Is there any Bible character that you can think of who had a dear, close friend who turned against him? David? I'm thinking of a more prominent character. Oh, Jesus. See, there's a good answer in every Bible class. You know, can you think of anybody? Jesus. Did Jesus have any close friends who turned against him? Can you imagine even the Son of God, even the Son of God dealt with loss of friendships? Can he sympathize with us in those things? What about just loss of morality in our society? In this theme of loss of. Can the loss of what we need to be as a society, where we used to be in the morality that is around us, the fact that that is crumbling around us, can that get us discouraged? Yeah. That's part of turning on the news and watching the news. You know, there's some things that you can control in life. You can't always control the loss of money. You can't always control the loss of a loved one. You can control the television. Did you know that? You can control your phone. Did you know that? You can control the on and off button. So that's possible. But when you see our the morality of things around us crumbling, is that discouraging? What should that remind us of? It should remind us of Philippians 3 and verse 20, that as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. Aren't you glad that your citizenship is not limited to where you are on this earth? Is the morality crumbling in heaven? Is the society of heaven, is it on a downward cycle like things seem to be around us in this nation? And we ought to be reminded that our citizenship is first and foremost as children of God. It is in heaven. And so the Bible says that we are merely pilgrims, sojourners. We are just a passing through. And so what I want to do, we've only got about 18 minutes here. We've talked about some Bible characters that were discouraged, and we could have added some more to that. We've tried to identify just some causes today of discouragement, but okay, that really hasn't helped us yet. So 18 minutes for the rest of this class, what are some Bible cures? If you get discouraged, what are some Bible cures? Go to Mark chapter 6. Turn to Mark chapter 6. First thing I want us to see is I want us to learn a lesson from Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to quickly learn just a few lessons from some Bible characters about what they did when they were discouraged. Jesus' best friend on earth. Will you think about that for a second? Who would that be? And don't say Peter, James, or John. Jesus' best friend on earth. Let me He was related to him. Let's put it that way. This is a guy who baptized a lot of people. Here's John the Baptist. Mark chapter 6, what happens to John the Baptist? He's beheaded. If your best friend was beheaded because he took a stand for you, would you be discouraged when you got reports about that? Look at verse 30 of Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him everything. Told him everything that had happened with John. Both what they had done to John and what they had taught. Jesus hears all of this. What does Jesus say in verse 31? Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and let's rest a while. If you get discouraged, learn a lesson from Jesus. Take some time to rest. Isn't that an interesting place for Jesus to say, let's go aside and rest? Think about Elijah. Elijah was physically and emotionally drained. And where did he end up? In the valley of despair. Here's Jesus receiving some horrible news about his friend. And no doubt Jesus at this time is physically and emotionally exhausted. And physical and emotional exhaustion can result in leading us into a place of discouragement. And so what did Jesus say? You know what? Let's get away for a little while. Is recreation okay? Is resting okay? Is getting away and just cooling off for a little while? Is that okay? According to Jesus, it's a great idea. Because if we continue on without stepping aside, if we continue on in physical and emotional exhaustion, can the devil use that? Oh, he will. So learn a lesson from Jesus, and we're going to see several things. This is just one of them. Life is full of mountains, peaks, and valleys. It's okay. Is it okay to be in a valley? Is it okay to be down in a low part of life? Is it okay to be there? It makes you appreciate the mountains. Is it okay to stay there? We need to do what we can to get out of it. One thing we can do is to take some time to rest. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 19. Why did I say 2 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 19. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. This is where we were reading about Elijah. And remember, we were talking about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. That he prayed that he might die. He prayed that the Lord would take his life. That's in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. He prayed that he might die, and he said, Lord, it's enough. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Fast forward. You fast forward several days, and you get over to verse 19. 1 Kings 19, 19. And Elijah says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So first he prayed, Lord, take my life. And now he's praying to God and saying, God, they're going to take my life. Look at verse 14. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. Hey, he already prayed this prayer. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. Is this a man who's down in the very depths of despair? Lord, take my life. And if you don't take my life, they're going to take my life. I'm in a bad place, God. What was God's cure? What was God's cure for Elijah's discouragement? Look in verse 15. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go. Get up and go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Verse 16. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. The end of verse 16. You shall anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. I want you to get up and go, and when you arrive, I want you to anoint, and I want you to anoint, and I want you to anoint, and I want you to realize in verse 18 that I have reserved, you're not alone, son, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal. What did God tell Elijah was a good thing to do when you get discouraged? Focus on somebody else. That's just God's remedy here. Is Elijah down in the depths of despair? Yeah, and what does God say? Elijah, you need to get up. I know you're hurting. You need to get out. Don't be a hermit in your house. Get up, get out, and go and do something for somebody. God, you're not very sympathetic to Elijah's situation here. God, you're kind of cold-hearted. I mean, Elijah's hurting here. How can you tell him to get up and get out and go do something for somebody else? How could God do that? It's good advice. You better believe it. It's coming from God, right? It's good advice. What did you say, Jackie? When you're thinking about somebody else, you don't have time so much to dwell on yourself. I want you to think about that. Is that true? When Jesus was nailed to a cross and he's there for 6 hours, you think he was discouraged? You think he was kind of down? You think that he was just on a mountaintop experience and, boy, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me? And yet, do you ever read about Jesus during those 6 hours thinking about others? That's all he thought about. He thought about those soldiers who nailed him to the cross. He thought about that thief who was hanging next to him. He thought about his mother who needed to be taken care of. Interesting advice from God, isn't it? If you're ever down in a depth of discouragement, see what you can do to get out and help somebody else. Come back to Psalm 42, where we read about David. Those verses that we read, and I intentionally skipped some of the verses around it, because what's interesting in Psalm 42 is that not only is David saying at least four times, my soul is cast down, my soul is disquieted within me, but do you know that David gives the cure for all of that all around those verses? So it's not just David saying, boy, I'm facing the worst thing ever in my life. He gives the cure for it. So come back to Psalm 42. Look in verse 5. Psalm 42 and verse 5 is one of those verses where he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? What's the cure here? Verse 5. Hope in God. For I shall yet curse him for what he's done to me. Oh, your Bible doesn't say curse him? Check your Bible. Make sure you got the right Bible. It doesn't say curse him. What does your Bible say? Oh, I'm going to praise him. David, hang on a second. Are you really? You're dealing with your enemies who have come against you. And why are they your enemies? Well, because they're God's enemies. And because they're against God, they're against you. And what does he say? My hope is in God. What? Your hope is in God? Yeah, my hope is in God. Well, David, you're facing all of this turmoil because of God. Yep, and my hope is in God. And I will yet praise him. And depending on your Bible, your translation there, it'll say for his salvation. It may say for the help that God gives to me. Does God ever help us? I mean, When was the last time you sat down to count your blessings? Look in verse 11, same thing. My soul is cast down, it's disquieted within me. My hope is in God, I will praise him. Look in Psalm 43 and verse 5, same thing. It's like a recurring thing. Why is my soul cast down? Why is it disquieted within me? What am I going to do? I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to yet praise him. Back up all the way to the beginning of Psalm 42. How does Psalm 42 begin? Here's a psalm that is filled with discouragement for what he's dealing with. Here's a psalm where he says, all of these people are saying, where's your God, David? Where's your God? Your God's turned his back on you. You ought to turn your back on God. And how does David begin this psalm? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I get to come and appear before God? You want a cure for discouragement? Focus on praising God. Focus on worshiping God. Sometimes somebody might say, you know, I'm really down. I'm really down. I've really had a rough week. I can't go to worship today on Sunday. I just can't go to worship. You know what your soul needs more than anything? To go and worship God. You know what happens when we've been in the presence of God? You know what happens when we've been in the presence of His children in worshiping? It helps us to take the focus off of those things that are driving us to discouragement. Interesting, David, discouraged, dealing with all of these things, and what is he doing? He says, my hope and my trust is in God, and that's who I'm going to worship. Think about Paul. Did Paul ever face anything that would cause him discouragement? Can you think of one or two things? Go over to Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. When Paul writes the book of Philippians, where is he? He's in a Roman prison. And he writes the book of Philippians that is a book filled with 16 times. You're going to read the word joy or rejoicing in it. If you were in prison, if you had been beaten and thrown in prison, would you be discouraged? Here's Paul, full of joy and excitement. I want you to see what he says in verse. We're only going to look at one verse here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. He's in prison. He's been beaten and thrown in prison unjustly. And he says, I want you to know something. The things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Is it possible that I can take whatever is happening to me, whatever discouragement that I am facing, is it possible that I can take it and use it for God? Somebody says, I don't know. You don't know what I've been through. Do we know what Paul had been through? And Paul says, after all I've been through, you know what? I think what's actually turned out is this is better for God than they ever thought it would be. Instead of it destroying the cause of Christ, it's just furthering the cause of Christ. Can I take what's happening to me and use it to further the cause? And somebody says, I don't know. Well, look inside of what's happening sometimes and see, can I possibly do that? In the lifetime of Jesus, do you ever read about people who really had it bad, who were around Jesus? People who were really suffering, who were around Jesus. You think about people that Jesus healed. They really had it bad. Think about those lepers. Think about the lepers that Jesus healed. Do they have a hard life? Yeah. Think about the woman who had an issue of blood, a flow of blood for 12 years. What does the Bible say about that woman? Had she tried to find cures for her ailment? She had spent everything she had. She had been to every specialist she could find. She had been to every Mayo Clinic she could find. She had been everywhere that she could go and spent everything that she could, and it still wasn't any better. And then she heard about Jesus. And what did she want to do? She wanted to go into Jesus' clinic and get healed. But what was the least thing that she wanted to do? Did she want big fanfare? I just want to touch the hem of His garment. She didn't even want Him to know. Here was a woman who was doing everything that she could to get closer to Jesus. When I get discouraged, what do I need to do? Find every possible thing I can do to get closer to the Lord. Were there other people around? On this occasion, were there other people around? Was it difficult, perhaps, for her to get to the Lord? When Jesus said, who touched me? What did the disciples say? Jesus, look around. There is a huge multitude here. There's a throng of people here. Everybody's been touching you. Was it hard for this woman to make her way to the Lord and get to Him? Absolutely. Did it stop her? She was discouraged, but in her discouragement, she was determined to do what she could to get closer to the Lord. Maybe that's something for us to think about. I've got 1 minute, two more things to think about. If we get discouraged, we need to remind ourselves to trust in the promises of God. Romans 8 and verse 28 does not need to be a verse that we are ever ashamed to quote. It does not need to be a verse that we are ever ashamed to lean upon, to have written on our wall, and have written on our hearts. Is it not a promise from God that He's going to take care of us? That He's going to work things out one way or another in this life or the next? It's going to happen. I need to trust in the promises of God, and not just in promises of God. I need to trust that God is with me. Trust in the presence of God. And not allow myself to believe that I am all by myself and that I have been left alone. Turn to John chapter 16. Gary, make your comment. Let's turn to John chapter 16 before the bell gets us. Yes, we sing a song that's based upon the very fact that His eye is on the sparrow. Look in John 16. His eye is on the sparrow. And the song says, "And I know He's watching over me." If the Lord knows what happens to a worthless sparrow, does He know what happens to me? I need to trust in His promises. I need to trust in His presence. Final thing I'm going to say, last verse of John 16. Jesus says to His disciples, I want you to think about the context here. Jesus says to these men, "I'm getting ready to leave you. I'm getting ready to die. Here's the bread, my body. Here's the cup, my blood. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to leave you." That's what's happening in this context. Verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, my friends, that in me," in your mind, circle, underline, "in me, that in me you may have peace." Do we need to trust in our Lord? Do we need to make sure that we are in our Lord? Were His disciples going to face discouragement in the days ahead? Yes, 100%. "In me, you have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus overcame discouragement in His life. And He says, if we are in Him, we can have peace and find ways through Him, through faith in Him, to overcome discouragement in our lives. I hope some of this has been helpful for us this morning. Thank you all very much for your attention.